My message to you today. My scripture reading is in Matthew. Let's start off there. Matthew 12 and verse 33. Either make the tree good and its fruit good, or make the tree bad and its fruit bad. For the tree is known by its fruit. You brood of vipers, how can you, being evil, speak what is good? For the mouth speaks out of that which fills the heart. The good man brings out of his good treasure what is good, and the evil man brings out of his evil treasure what is evil. But I tell you that every careless word that people speak, they shall give an accounting for it in the day of judgment. For by your words you will be justified, and by your words you will be condemned. I'd like to go a second scripture passage. Let's go to 1 John 2. And verse 28. 1 John 2 and 28. And now, little children, abide in him, so that when he appears, we may have confidence and not shrink away from him in shame at his coming. If you know that he is righteous, you know that everyone also who practices righteousness is born of him. Next, I'm going down to the third chapter in the first verse. See how great a love the Father has bestowed upon us that we should be called children of God, and such we are. For this reason the world does not know us, because it did not know him. Beloved, now we are children of God, and it has not yet appeared. It has not appeared as yet what we shall be. We know that when he appears, we shall be like him, because we shall see him just as he is. And everyone who has this hope fixed on him purifies himself just as he is pure. And my text is verse 33 of Matthew 12. Either make the tree good and its fruit good, or make the tree bad and its fruit bad. For the tree is known by its fruit. Today I would like to speak to you about a subject that all of us develop, either consciously or unconsciously. We have and can relate to this. My message to you is about habits. And we know that developed habits can be beneficial or they can be destructive. They can be good or they can be evil. They can lead us to the gates of heaven or to the grasp of hell. And we must recognize our present state and make corrections as needed. What kind of habits do we have in our life that we can evaluate, we can think about, and we can say, you know, those are bad habits. Some of the bad habits that we observe is constantly and habitually finding the negative in just about everything that comes our way. How and why is it that we have to constantly look for the negative in life? Why is it that we cannot pick out the positive. Why is it that when we look toward each other, we want to pick at the negatives of the person? Why can't we ever develop ourselves as a Christian to the point that when we see each other, our brothers and sisters, that we can find positive things about the person that enters our mind and that we let go from our lips? Why is it that we develop habits of constantly being late when we come into the house of God? Why is it that we have such little respect for God and His place of worship, the place in which He chooses to place His name? Why is it that we have such little respect for not only God and His house, but for the brothers and sisters that come to worship Him also? We need to take stock. We need to think about what we're doing and our habits that are developed. And we need to know when we look at some of these that we need changes. Changes are necessary, but we need to evaluate what they are. We have good habits also, too. You know what we need to do? Develop them more. Add to them. Expand on the good habits. Share the good habits with others. Maybe they can rub off on others. If possible, that's exactly what we need to do. Let's go to Luke 4 and 16 in thinking about habits. Things that we do repetitiously, sometimes almost subconsciously about some things. Luke 4 and 16. And he came to Nazareth where he had been brought up. And this is speaking of Jesus. And as was his custom, could we place habit there? I think so. And as was his custom, he entered the synagogue on the Sabbath and stood up to read. He made sure he got there as his habit was. And once he got there, he took an active part, did he not? He stood up to share what he knew in God's Word. Let's go to Acts. Now, that was speaking of Jesus as his habit was. Let's go to Acts 17 and 2. And according to Paul's custom, he went to them and for three Sabbaths reasoned with them from the Scriptures. That's the Apostle Paul. He had a habit or a custom just like Jesus Christ of entering in unto the church, the synagogue, on the Sabbath and explaining the Scriptures to all that would listen and open their hearts to the Word. Let's go to Hebrews 10. And 25. Hebrews 10 and 25. We'll just drop back to 4, 24. And let us consider how to stimulate one another to love and good deeds. Not forsaking our own assembling together as the habit of some, but encouraging one another, and all the more as you see the day drawing near. Is the habit of assembling ourselves together in the house of the Lord on time? Is that not a great habit to get into? And the Word of God lets us know, don't forsake the assembling of yourselves together. Because you should not only do it, but you should do it much the more as you see the day of the Lord approaching. And speaking of habits from God's Word, we must recognize first our loving Creator God. We must develop the habit of consistently and constantly recognizing that we have an Almighty Creator God and that He has a plan for each one of us. And that includes how our lives should be spent for Him. We must develop the habit of recognizing that just as there is a good force, a creative force that wants us to live the better life, there is also another force. We must always recognize that there is an evil force also working. There is the Satan, the deceiver, our enemy, who seeks to kill and to destroy. You know what Satan wants you to do? He wants you to separate yourself from God. He wants to drive a wedge, if possible, between you and God. He would like for a wedge to be driven between you and your good family and your good friends and your church and the brothers and sisters within your church. Satan is there to hinder and to deceive, if at all possible, any and all of God's children. Let's go to John 10 and verse 10. John 10 and 10. The thief, who is the thief? It's Satan the devil. Who steals our joy? Who steals our happiness? Who steals our contentment? The thief comes only to steal and kill and destroy. I came that they might have life. And might have it abundantly. Jesus is saying the devil is trying to seek to destroy you. To take what you have, if possible. But He's saying that I come so that you can have a better life. And it much abundantly. I am the good shepherd. And the good shepherd lays down His life for the sheep. That's Jesus Christ, your Lord and Savior. Let's go to 1 John 3 and 8. 1 John 3 and 8. The one who practices sin, if you practice something, it must be somewhat of a habit with you. If you practice sin, the one who practices sin is of the devil, For the devil has sinned from the beginning. The Son of God appeared for this purpose, that he might destroy the works of the devil. The devil is seeking to find you out and to find your weaknesses and deceive you and destroy you. That's the devil's way. Jesus Christ says that his purpose is that he might destroy the works of the devil. And ultimately, the devil is going to be destroyed in hell and be no more. Thirdly, we must develop habits of communicating with God. That means daily prayer. A habit of daily going to God in prayer. Seeking Him and seeking His ways through our communication with Him and through reading His Word. And ultimately, we need to get to the point to where we habitually, completely trust God. That we put ourselves and our family, our situation, our health, our job, our happiness, all needs to be put in God's hands. We need to have a complete faith and trust in Him. I'd like to go to Isaiah 12 and 2. Behold, God is my salvation. I will trust and not be afraid. For the Lord God is my strength and song, and He has become my salvation. And that's what the world needs now. They need the salvation that only God can bring. And through His plan of Jesus Christ dying and atoning for our sins, then we can be reconciled to Him in good standing and look toward all of the things that we as heirs of God have coming to us. Let's go to Psalms 56 and 3. Psalms 56 and 3. When I am afraid, I will put my trust in Thee. The psalmist doesn't say, I won't ever be afraid. And we know that we should try not to be afraid. But the psalmist says, when I am afraid, I will put my trust in the Lord Almighty. Let's go to 1 John 5 and starting with the first verse. 1 John 5 and verse 1. Whosoever believes that Jesus is the Christ is born of God. And whosoever loves the Father loves the child born of Him. By this we know that we love the children of God when we love God and observe His commandments. Do you think it's speaking of something here that we should do habitually? I think so. I think this should become a habit with us. By this we know that we love the children of God when we love God and observe His commandments. For this is the love of God, that we keep His commandments, and His commandments are not burdensome. For whatever is born of God overcomes the world, and this is the victory that has overcome the world, our faith. And who is the one who overcomes the world? But he who believes that Jesus is the Son of God. We need to have the habit of resisting the fear habit. Instead of having the habit of fear, which usually comes from looking on the negative of things that come our way, resist the habit of fear and replace it with the habit of faith. Putting your complete trust for all the cares of life that come your way, have complete trust and faith in God. Resist the habit of discouragement. Some of us are easily discouraged. Doesn't take much, and we get down. Sounds like we don't have enough of the habit of faith. Sounds like we have a little bit too much of the fear habit. And that means that we need to grow closer to our Father God. Resist the fear habit. Resist the discouragement habit. Resist the disparagement attitude. How easy it is that we come to the place that almost everything that comes our way, we find a way to belittle ourselves. We find a way to say, poor me, on each and everything, rather than look at the positive, rather than replace the ideas and the attitudes of, I'm helpless, I'm too little, I can't do it, I don't know enough, I can't make the first step. Feel sorry for me. Too many things are going wrong in my life. That's a poor attitude. We need to replace those kind of attitudes with, I can do anything through Christ that lives in me. That was Paul's words. I can do all things through Him that lives in me. We need to get rid of those kind of attitudes of disparagement. You know what? When we think of habits, we need to ultimately come to the point in which our habits should lead us to know. And the first one is to know that God loves us. God is love, and He truly loves each one of us that opens our heart and our life to Him. We need to come that we know that He cares. A habit of knowing that He loves us, regardless of the things in life that comes to us. Regardless of our problems, we know that He loves us. We have the habit of thinking that when things don't go like what we would have them to go. But God loves us, and we know that He cares. His Word says He cares for us. Also know that He wants to communicate with us. And through His Word and through our communication with Him, He wants our sincere, committed response. Do we have that habit of giving Him our sincere, committed response? That is a habit of a made-up mind. That is a habit of complete trust in Him. That we communicate with Him sincerely. That we study His Word sincerely. That we react to His Word in, yes, I'm going to yield my heart and my life to You. I'm going to trust You with my life. I'm going to trust You with my children. And I'm going to commit myself to You. This is what He wants. This is how our habits should lead. Also, we should have the habit of knowing that He wants us to not only communicate with Him and to search out the truths in His Word, commit ourselves sincerely to Him, but He wants us in His family. That's part of it. He wants to communicate. He wants us in His family. He wants our help to reach others. This is just His plan. He wants us. He wants us to help Him to reach others. He wants us for our time that we have to give to Him, our talents, and our skills. And each one of us has time and talents and skills. And our Heavenly Father wants us to open our hearts and lives to Him sincerely and committedly to where we help Him accomplish His plans for those that will open their hearts and lives to Him. We need to have the habit of developing our special personal spiritual gifts. And we all have at least one of those special spiritual gifts. I'm talking about those gifts such as being a prophet, a teacher, a minister, a special gift of discernment, a special gift of music, a special gift of just being a help. And I don't say that to belittle that spiritual gift. A lot of people can be a special help to others that by their personalities and their attitudes, no one else can reach another person besides that particular person that has that particular gift of helps. Only you and you alone perhaps can reach another particular person for God. And finally, we need to learn to always, regardless of the situation or circumstances, we need to learn to always put God first. We need to learn to think of Him not only when we are on the highest peaks of our life and success and joys are coming our way, but we need to also think of Him first in the lowest valleys of our life. When circumstances seem hopeless, we need to also put God first. Let us always, when we evaluate, when you go home today, I want you to think. I want you to think about this message. What habits do I have that need to be changed? They're not good habits. Something needs to be done. I know God would not like me to have this particular habit. Seek God for Him to help you to change the bad habits in your life. And then praise and give glory and honor to God for all of those good things in your life. All of those great habits that you have. Know that they come from Him. And also know that He has even better things for you. Better habits to expand upon the good habits that you always have. God wants to ultimately fill you to the point of overflowing. And that's what the Holy Spirit does. That's what happened on the day of Pentecost. When the Holy Spirit came down, it filled the ones who were there waiting to an overflowing. And that's what we need to seek each day of our life, is to seek God to the point of Him blessing us with His spiritual gifts to the point of overflowing. If you would.